The Kate Daly Show starts now.
My staff has always said, don't say this, but I'm going to say it again because it's so descriptive, because it's true. Tourists lined up in summer and winter. Long lines coming into the Capitol. In the summertime, because the high humidity and how hot it gets here, you could literally smell the tourists coming into the Capitol. And that may be descriptive, but it's true.
Isn't that nice of Harry Reid? Good old Harry. There's a reason his staff never wanted him to say that. Mm-hmm. I can smell the tourists coming of the high, because of the high humidity.
Especially the ones from India.
Yeah, I can smell
that curry, you know, it comes out of your pores.
I can smell the tourists. I can smell America coming to visit us, those little people. Anyway. Well, that's one person I do not miss, Harry Reid. Oh, good gravy. Anyway, Harry Reid, what a nightmare. What a nightmare to politics that man became. And I just don't have enough vile things to say about him. I do hope they name a toilet in his name, though. Some bathroom somewhere. I hope it's the Harry Reid. The Harry Reid restroom somewhere. Mm-hmm. Come on. Some campus is dying to put a name on him somewhere, huh?
Yep.
Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. How are you today? And I hope you had a nice holiday. You know, I was struck by the meme that talked about this is let people know that it's not National Barbecue Day. There's a reason to today. And I agree. There was a definite reason for yesterday. And to all you veterans out there that have served willingly and served not so willingly, I appreciate you. And Uncle Melty even served. How long were you in there for?
I was in both the Army and the Navy, and I served a total of almost 7 years active duty total between the two.
Wow. Wow. Well, my hat's off to you and many others that have served, and I hope your day was nice and a great day of remembrance for those as you visited cemeteries and so forth, and thinking about the great things about the people that you've lost in your life. So, you know, it's just kind of a hard day, and a hard day for a lot of people out there, and I can appreciate that. Welcome to the show. Dr. Pesta will join us on Thursday this week because of yesterday, and so we're off and running today. There's a lot on the docket, and a lot of brand new things in the news as far as the Supreme Court and Missouri, Alabama are hitting headlines again. Also, we have all of the tornadoes. So we'll be talking about a host of things and trying to bring in a perspective of history, too, so that we can really kind of analyze the news. I wish newscasters would do this, but they're not going to. They're really not. They don't care. I always like to view things in perspective. This morning I taped with John Wells, and he is always so fun. Caravan to Midnight. I don't know if you listen to that show, but it'll play tomorrow. And so always happy to get together with him and discuss the things of the day. And my episode was with George Papadopoulos. So that should be very, should be getting him possibly on the air with us pretty soon. So I really, really like John, and it was a lot of fun, and it was just really, he's always a blast to talk to. He just has a huge variety of things he's interested in, so it was really fun.
You know, nobody would even hardly know who Papadopoulos was if they hadn't framed him the way they did.
That is the truth. That is so true. I don't mean to laugh, but you're right. You're so right. We have a lot of that going around,
yeah.
Don't we?
Yep.
Yes. So anyway, if anyone remembers, John B. Wells was the former weekend host of Coast to Coast AM all across the nation. So his show is Caravan to Midnight. Check it out tomorrow. And we talked for like way over an hour. I don't even know how long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So brings me to Utah news. You're welcome to call up if you want to. This I'm sorry. You know what? It's almost as if we're clairvoyant now. Like, I know when I start to read a headline, what the headline's going to be. because of the propaganda. I need my decoder ring, you know, the propaganda. Well, I don't need my decoder ring anymore. The propaganda decoder ring, you don't need it because honestly, you can know in 2 seconds what it's all about. There was an article in Local about national parks. Sorry, I have to laugh because this is how ridiculous this is getting. So all I read was national parks more affected by rising temperatures. And I went, okay, there we go. Climate change bell. Where's that bell that we need to ring? Mm-hmm. So get this. Can't make this up. National parks are more affected by rising temperatures than the rest of the country. And Zion's right here, is most impacted by climate change in the Southwest. Did you know that climate change knows how to pinpoint? It like comes down and like a funnel, like a tornado comes down and it pinpoints exactly where a federally owned piece of property is, a state and federally owned piece of property. And it knows how to dial itself in to only affect that more than anything else around it. I thought that was so interesting.
That sounds very reasonable to me.
Does it?
Because we all know that the national parks are overcrowded, and all those people create a huge carbon footprint.
Oh, that's right.
Which can
the carbon.
Be easily recognized by climate change proponents.
Right. That nasty carbon that's pretty essential for us to live.
Right. Yeah,
right.
That stuff we need.
that stuff we need. So they say in the recent study, don't you love they? Well, this was performed by a team at University of California, Berkeley.
Well, there's a good source.
Well, I'm totally shocked. Totally shocked they came to this conclusion. But their climate change scientist and associate adjunct professor used spatial analysis and GIS. Okay. GIS, GIS, to analyze climate data and temperatures for all 50 states and every national park. Oh, so they just studied the national parks. Oh, well, that made it a little easier to come up with the answer, and that was national parks are hit more than anyone else. So according to the study revealed that the national parks have been more affected by rising temperatures than anything else around it. Man, that climate change is smart. It's just full of intelligentsia. Anyway, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. On a different subject, you know, something you will not probably see very much in the news is about what happened with the elections in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, you know.
Basically, Europe is saying the European Union, their own people do not like it.
Uh-huh. I know. They don't want anyone to know that, though. See, everyone's supposed to be in love. They're supposed to follow Merkel along with the everyone loves the European Union because I am the president thereof. And because we get to tell the countries what to do and kick out their sovereignty. So everyone loves us. And no, not everyone loves them. You know, people are awakening. I talked about this with John B. Wells this morning. People are awakening. They're awakening to all over the world. And yet the news won't report it. The news won't tell you that people are awakening and that people are revolting and having a huge amount of, I don't know, just wake up status around the world to their to their overbearing governments.
Well, that's because the mainstream media is a puppet of the globalist, and that's just the way it works. So that's why I would say to people, if you get your information from the mainstream media, then you can keep drinking the Kool-Aid, or you can pull your head out and you can start to look around and finally realize that most people have taken the red pill. And we've all realized what they're trying to do to us is subjugate us under a group that we have no way of voting about or have any control over.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep. But they want you to put your head in the sand.
Yeah. We've had France and France and England both have basically within 30 days, if not 2 months, turned their entire country around to be a nationalist and basically thrown the entire parliament upside down, and now we're going to have new prime ministers that are going to be more conservative nationalists, like a Trump type.
Well, it's going to get interesting, isn't it, to watch and learn from. And that's what I hope is that we're learning from this, because we did sign a treaty, and that treaty puts us up to that same status eventually. And given the given what we do in this country with that treaty, I don't know how much we're going to be able to not do or have control over. But this is the danger of ridding ourselves of our own sovereignty in favor of working with our so-called planet partners. This is where it leads us. And that's the EU is just such a perfect example. I hope we're learning from it. Do you think we are?
I believe so. I believe that we're finally, as a populace, not just running on autopilot, and while everything's good, just let the politicians do what they do. Mm-hmm. And as long as I can get cheap stuff at Walmart and the dollar store, I'm okay.
Yeah.
We're now starting to realize there was a price for that.
Yep. There was definitely a price for that. I really appreciate your call. You zeroed in on a lot of really good topics, actually. Thanks. I love it. Yeah, he's right.
Yep.
He's right. We're learning huge, and there is a price to be paid. Sometimes how we deal with problems is, does it hit me today? Can I feel it? And what we haven't felt has hurt us as much as what we're going to feel in the future. And I really do mean that. What we haven't felt because we've been able to have these trading partners around the globe, it really has hurt us. I would rather almost see industries tank and have to rebuild themselves, not based on government money, not based on all these kinds of things, and be able to help ourselves and grow everything we need and not do a huge amount of importing, exporting, just because when we can supply what we need to ourselves, what a different nation we are. Even if the industries have an issue, let's say farmers have an issue right now with what's going on. We've been hearing prices are going to go up. We should want to incur that just to remain our nation being able to be self-sufficient. Really.
No, people are waking up. There's no question. There, a report came out the other day. There's been a 4,082% increase in the use of the term "pull your head out."
Thank you, Uncle Milty.
All right.
Unfiltered. That's why we love you. Yeah, well, nothing I can say can follow that up, apparently. Anyway, I just wanted to mention about climate change. I'm sorry. Even the people that bought into this, you're seeing through this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. There has to be a level of, oh my gosh. When they say that that climate change is able to zero in on federally funded properties, we know that this is a farce, right? Right? I mean, I hope. I can't believe people are still buying into this if they're buying into it.
Some still do.
Yeah. But don't we honestly know how much it's being manipulated? Anyway. I just can't. It's hard for me to believe that after seeing articles even like this, that somebody with a brain wouldn't question the manipulation going
right
on that keeps getting tossed out at us. I'll be every angle they can use. And there's more today on that subject, too, by the way. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show. Where did all the people go? They got scared when the lights went low. I'll get you through it nice and slow when the world's spinning out of control. Afraid of what they might do. Might get scraped or they might get bruised. You could beg them what's the use. That's why it's called a moment of truth.
That's the song Soldier by Gavin DeGraw. Welcome back to The Kate Daly Show. Glad to have you. Uncle Milty's with me today on a Tuesday. And Dr. Pesta will join us on Thursday. Also, that's the same day Chris Ann Hall comes to the show. And Alex Newman on Friday. All kinds of good stuff this week so far. And so, just wanted to mention Dr. Diet. Make sure you get over there. You all know I lost weight over there, and I've kept it off. And the reason is because they were that good at helping me to change some bad habits and then also understand a little bit more about my own body type. And that's what's important here. So make sure you get the help. Having a coach and having somebody actually walk you through it and have that accountability. I know that a lot of people become, you know, for some reason, they're resistant to that at first. They can always do it on their own. But look back and ask yourself how many times you've put it off. So maybe being on your own isn't such a great idea. Maybe try something different. 20 pounds, 200 pounds, 500 pounds, whatever the case may be, you're probably looking at the same issue. So make sure you go in and get some help, and you'll start watching that melt off very, very quickly. We're in the throes of going into our summer right now, and you're going to be wearing a little bit more clothing, I would imagine, a little more summer clothing, and being around a pool a little bit more. Feel good about yourself. Life's too short not to. So make sure you get over to Dr. Diet. I really love these guys. I've known them for a long time, and they really are sincere and very good at what they do. Give them a chance. Go to Dr. Diet, walk in the door, and you're going to be so happy about it. You can go to drdietweightloss.com, or you can join their Facebook page at Dr. Diet, the wellness center, and they have specials all the time. And also call 628-DIET. Get your appointment. Just drive over there. Get in. It's on St. George Boulevard. You can't miss them. And they are really down by Smith's. They really are fantastic. And I wholeheartedly recommend them. Well, welcome back. We were just talking about the insanity of... I was just asking Uncle Milty on the break, you know, why can't they just say people go to the national parks? And maybe here are the things, because so many people go to the national parks, here's the deal with the national parks and what's going on with them. Why do they have to bring in the climate change narrative? There were about four different articles today in Top News, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. About bringing in the climate change argument to them. And all of them were just as silly as this one. Climate change doesn't pinpoint federally owned property more than anyone else. It's cyclical. It means it happens to everything cyclically. This is just getting so out of hand. I don't even know what to say. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Global climate warming.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot the narrative. What is it today? I thought it was cooling again. Aren't we headed back to cooling?
A.K.A. global climate change.
Ah, okay. Okay. Because I was gonna say,
now, you've seen all these tornadoes that are happening everywhere. It's just a rash of them.
Right,
yeah,
right.
We'll be talking about that.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that the next hour. We really want to break that down.
You know, you have to have massive amounts of cold air to mm-hmm. have tornadoes. they don't have tornadoes in the tropics.
Yeah.
It's the mingling of cold air mm-hmm. and hot air. So where'd all this cold air come from? And I've talked to several people in this area that say it hasn't been this cold since 1969,
mm-hmm.
cold and rainy like this.
Yeah.
Well, remember what was happening in 1969 and 1970. That's when Earth Day started, and we were going to be ice age coming.
Oh, 79. By 79, we were going to be frozen popsicles. Yep. That didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
So maybe we're back to the popsicle stage.
Maybe we are. I always forget what stage we're in. I always forget, like, where we're at. Cooling, warming. It's hard to say, but I so appreciate your phone call. Thank you. It's hard to make sense of all this. But why? Because it's nonsensical. That's why.
I was really...
There's nothing to this.
I was really relieved when they changed it to climate change.
Yeah.
Because I was really getting confused going
back
and forth
from like
warming to
cooling.
Freezing and cooling.
Are we going to be fried eggs? Are we going to be popsicles? Yeah. It's so hard to know what your demise is going to be in the next 10 years. And so at least we've narrowed it down to, we don't know, but we'll let you know when it happens. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, by way of cyclical nature here, we're going to be talking about tornadoes because the past will surprise you. The way the news is painting it right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're all over the climate change narrative. So, by the way, the Bilderberg meeting is today. Just wanted to clue everybody in on the goings on of the deep state. So I swear we should do like a Where's Waldo? Where's the deep state today? Well, they're in Switzerland and they're having a meeting. And number two on the docket, I'm pretty sure that was climate change. Yep. Number two on the docket. And then also, pick your disaster. I was just trying to think. There's just so many of them. But everything from China to Russia is on the docket for discussion today. And climate change being a huge one. So, you know, anything usually they're talking about has to do with the things they create. The narratives they create. So there's that. And how can they use it to their advantage? Then there's that too. So just wanted the Where's Waldo today, and mm-hmm. that's where the deep state is today. So yes, we have a narrative of national parks, Zion being the one in the Southwest that's hit the most by climate change because it's able to target itself in there. Boy, it's smart. we also have elder abuse too. There was a huge AP article that is being shopped around. Elder abuse. That elder abuse is on the rise because of Alzheimer's and dementia, and that people aren't visiting their loved one as much. And so, if you're not visiting your loved ones as much, then you have more signs of abuse going on. Hmm. So that was kind of an interesting article too. And you know, that could be. I'm not quite sure. But they're saying Utah's now getting in on this, and they've appropriated dollars and funding and people to this issue to see what's actually going on. So that'll be kind of interesting to see what that factor is. And who knows? I mean, I don't know. You visit the nursing homes.
I visit quite a few assisted living facilities each week.
Mm-hmm.
And to be real honest, I haven't noticed that there's a huge increase in that problem.
Mm.
It doesn't seem like there's more than normal of people that have memory mm-hmm. issues and things like that.
Right.
Mostly, it's just people that can't live alone.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know why more families just don't bring them into their home.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah, that's an issue. But, of course, government likes to push the we'll take care of them
mm-hmm,
theory.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually go into the facility and see just how well they're taken care of by
mm-hmm,
the government,
mm-hmm.
then you realize yeah. why we don't like that.
I know.
It's pitiful. Some of the places
really
are
is.
Really pitiful.
Because a lot of our elderly have worked so hard to make sure they've paid off their homes,
yep.
and then they can't stay in them. And,
nope.
And, you know, I've noticed a lot more jobs for people who will go in and care for those. The family will
uh-huh.
even hire somebody just so they can
sure.
stay in their own home. And isn't that the wish for everybody?
Well, you know, I know one gentleman that is now confined to an assisted living facility that I see each week. And he mentioned to me last week that by the time they take his Social Security and
uh-huh.
any other monies that he has to pay for the facility,
mm-hmm.
he is only left with $45 a month for incidental personal
oh,
needs.
Oh, no.
That's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's criminal.
It is criminal. But, you know, we have a lot in this society as far as people can help, and we should be. That's who we should be really looking at, is taking care of that, because you will be there and I will be there. And the example that we set for the youth in how to care for people is really important.
Well, we have to quit believing that government's going to do it.
Yeah, we do. We're so dependent, it's not even funny.
They don't. They spend a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but they don't do much
right.
with the money they spend. It's
right.
A lot of it's wasted money.
Yeah.
So when you see it, just go visit. Go visit some assisted living places
mm-hmm.
and see how they treat those people.
Mm-hmm. And there's some are better than others, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No, there's some really nice ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to afford those.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And what can we do? You know, and I'm surprised that we don't have more of a roommate situation where if somebody owns their home, why can't families pool together and say, okay, if this is our situation, why don't we have three individuals sharing a home and have somebody hired to go in to help all three, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all three can pay for, pool their money and pay for those things while they're living in their own really little assisted living. I mean, why do we not think outside the box sometimes?
Well, I don't know. Now, I have another dear friend who just recently, his mother in California,
mm-hmm.
90 years old. Went blind.
Right.
And all these years, she has cared for their special needs brother, who is 70.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to bring them here into their home here. They can't live on their own alone in California
right.
anymore.
Right.
I mean, just matter of fact, well, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to bring them here to live with us.
Yeah.
What else would we do?
Exactly. Sometimes those sacrifices need to be made.
Yes.
I mean, for a grandparent living alone, why can't a member of the family go live there? Why can't a member of the family just make the sacrifice and say, okay, I'm gonna do this for
That's
a while?
Right.
And sometimes we don't think in those terms. You know, we only think about our bubble and how our life is and how it can't be moved in any way. But I do think that if people pulled those resources together a little bit, maybe if you had a three-bedroom home, then have three people that need assistance. Then they are each other's company, too.
Yep.
And sometimes that can really work out. You can pull resources together. It's just we have to start realizing that we have to start thinking outside the box. We can do a little bit more in this arena and not just have only two options. I mean, I think there's more options than we give ourselves credit for. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. You only have about 2 minutes.
Hello there, Kate.
Hi there.
Sam calling.
Hi, Sam.
Just a couple of things real quick.
Sure.
Number one, we ran into the same thing when we lived up in Liberty, Missouri. We were in a bank, and, you know, sometimes you can't help but overhear other stuff going on.
Sure.
And there was an elderly gentleman that lived in an assisted living facility there where they took almost all of his Social Security money. And even back then, you know, we thought, man, that's horrible, you know. And at one time, we didn't do all this with nursing homes and stuff. Families took care of other family members if they were ill or whatever. And I know it's hard, but see, that's another area where they get us working two, sometimes even three jobs at a time because everybody's spread so thin.
Yep.
Now we use daycare for the kids and nursing homes for the
Isn't that the truth?
For the elderly adults.
Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. You know, I was reading an article the other day about a family member abusing somebody older that was put in their home. And that does happen, but it happens far less frequently only because the people that love you are usually going to try to at least take care of you the most. And so you try. That's why we always kept those people close. We always, now when I say those people, I don't mean to, it's just when we, those people meaning our relatives, even if we don't have as close a relationship with them, we kept them a little bit closer to us. And you're right. We sort of just, you know, they're over there and we want to stay here. We don't want to sacrifice. So just deal with it. And we hand that off to the nursing homes. And so there's got to be
one other thing real quick along the tornado route you guys were talking about. These people are going nuts on the Democrat side. I saw an article here the other day where the Democrats are saying that it was karma to Jefferson City getting the tornado because they passed the heartbeat legislation.
Oh, jeez. You've got to be kidding me. Okay, we'll address that. Wow. Be right back.
You bet.
Thanks, Sam. Oh, my gosh. Be right back on the Kate Dallas Show. Oh, boy. All right. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Oh, why you look so sad? The tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me. I've seen the dark side too.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. If you have a problem with your car as far as mechanics go, as far as getting it fixed, go to Wright Auto. I've been taking my cars there for about 6 years, and I have nothing but good things to say because they're that good and honest, and I've just always been impressed with them. Make sure that you get over to Wright Auto. It's over by Costco, and you can't miss it. It's got a big yellow sign, and they really are, they just know what they're doing. It's family run, and they just pride themselves on making sure that you get the truth about your situation, and there's just nothing like that. Because you know, and I know that when your car breaks down, if you don't know about cars, you're kind of just dependent on what they say. And so, and these guys will not steer you wrong. In fact, we've been going there for a number of years, and a lot of my family goes there too, to get their cars fixed. So if you have a mechanical issue in your car, something going wrong, I would say Wright Brothers is a great, great choice. And make sure you get over there. The number is 256-6593. 256-6593. Give them a call, tell them we sent you, and they'll take care of you. And I'm telling you, I've been talking about them on the air for 6 years just because I was just been impressed since day one. And one time they called me up and it was like a $20 problem. And you know, and I know that's unheard of, right? And they were like, hey, we just wanted to tell you that this wasn't the big issue that you thought it was. And I just thought, wow, how do you get that kind of honesty, you know? And the ones that I talk about on the air, it's because I found that they were honest to work with. I've used them myself. I'm using them myself, and they're amazing. And that's why I talk about certain businesses on the air. It's the truth. People still ask me if I use Dynalube. Of course. Yes, I do. Why wouldn't I? I love it. I think it's amazing. So that kind of thing. I mean, I want to make sure you realize that I'm using these businesses, and I'm just telling you, when people come to town, they always, I have friends that move here that say, well, where do I go for this and that? And I'll always tell them, this is exactly where you should go and feed your business to, because they're that good. They'll take care of you. We were just talking about self-control. My son's working for the summer, and he's got a great job, 40 hours a week. And I was really proud of him, because he really stepped up and decided that he was gonna carry a load. He's just barely turned 17. And we were just talking about this because on the heels of an article that Uncle Milty and I had read that we thought was kind of cool, and it was an article about the fact that what is the one thing you can teach your kids? And I have to add to it to teach them, you know, how to take life on, right? Be mm-hmm. resilient and, yep. and you know, and take on responsibilities early. Self-control was the most important childhood trait that you could teach a child. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes. And you can see the ones that don't very easily.
Oh, yeah.
They're the ones that scream and yell when they don't get their way.
Yeah, I was walking around the grocery store, and if this is you, sorry, but it was really annoying, and I have to point it out. I was walking around, and I'll tell you this so that hopefully you don't do it again, but they were letting their kids scream at the top of their lungs, right, in the cart. I mean, scream. And the two parents... they looked like they shared a brain cell, but anyway, they were laughing, and they were saying, oh, you know, how funny this is. And everyone was turning around just so annoyed. And the more annoyed looks that they got, the more they started laughing. Mm-hmm. And they just kept letting the kids scream, 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 scream louder and louder. It was really hurting people's ears. I mean, it was really bad. And I thought, man, do parents just not teach these kids, like, you know, give them the evil eye. I don't care what you have to do. you know, parents, what I'm talking about. But my gosh, parent your kids. I mean, we're not seeing that. And we're not seeing the kids learn any self-control. They said that self-control is the best predictor of health, wealth, and happiness in adulthood. Far better than IQ scores and grades in school and friendliness and kindness and popularity. That it was. And we've had him on the show, Dr. Leonard Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we had him on the show a couple of years back. And he said that basically you got to teach him how to work hard. And that self-control comes into play because the things they want need to be earned. And so that's part of it, is self-control over themselves, not getting what they want right away, but making them earn it and want to work for it themselves. And also just basically seeing their kids achieve things and then weighing the options for themselves and being able to discern, hey, do I want to do this or do I want to have some self-control? Because culture's teaching them to do anything but have self-control right now.
I saw a woman at the grocery store one day literally running, pushing the cart at a run to get to the cookie aisle because her four-year-old was screaming he wanted a cookie.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious.
She should have been racing her car out to the parking lot.
I would have taught him why he needed a new diaper.
Oh, you see stuff like this, and doesn't it just drive you crazy? And I know that parenting in the moment, I know that people have actually been on Facebook saying, don't judge us. But parenting was just different. It was different when we were growing up, and it has changed a lot. And I don't know if it's for the better.
I don't think people understand what formative years mean anymore.
Yeah.
You know, four-year-olds learn fast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let them get away with that kind of thing, they're going to be screaming the rest of their life.
Yeah. Isn't
you know,
that
you're
going
to have a 22-year-old living at home someday screaming they want some cookies, Mom. Why didn't you go to the grocery store?
Right. And you just wonder how that happens. And I'm always interested in parenting. We should have Leonard Sachs back on the show because he did. He wrote a great book, and he's kind of the famed family physician. But he just said, look, if you want to ensure a successful future, what characteristic measured in childhood that best predicts all that? It is not even intelligence. It's basically consistently finding that self-control in childhood is the most important thing. And the first is to to educate desire, and he describes this as instilling a longing for something better, more lasting than video games or Kylie Jenner on Instagram or whatever, they're Kim Kardashian. In other words, children who have a steady diet of fun and entertainment and superficial niceties will turn out to be fluff-filled as those items, you know?
Yep.
And they have to have children raised to to value a standard of excellence in the books they read. That's one thing I wish I would have harped on my kids more, is to read more. But I love those parents that are out there doing that, and certainly applaud them for making sure their kids read a ton. And I wish I would have had my kids read a ton. I've made them read, but you know, there's something about wanting or desiring it for themselves too. That's something that I do see in homeschooling that's quite nice, is to see these kids want the education that they're going out and educating themselves, and that's pretty stellar. Hi caller, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi Kate.
Hi there.
You know, it's a horribly unpopular thing to say or think.
What's that?
But the really only way that we could ever have a really, really great society is if you could control who gets to breed.
Who gets to breed?
Seriously, yeah. Remember that movie? I remember the movie about family problems. I can't remember the name of it, but Keanu Reeves said in it, people got to have a license to drive a car. You got to have a license to catch a fish, but anybody can have kids.
Yeah. Okay, that's true. I understand where you're coming from on that, by the way. I actually had somebody talk to me about this, and I actually want to put a serious spin on that. I'll take you off the air, but I want to put a serious spin on this, if you don't mind. He brings up such a great topic.
Yes.
I actually had somebody talk to me about this and really say to me the government needed to come in and basically issue a license for it. And I said, what do you think would happen if the government, and I love his comical side of this, believe me, but what would happen if the government didn't issue a license for you? Would you be able to drive your car and be conscientious of others? Because there have been experiments where they've actually taken out the lights and taken out all of that, and in other countries, and people did pretty good, okay, on their own. And so do we really need a license for it? And this is my thought on this, and this is coming from kind of a serious, more serious angle, but it takes all kinds. And what I mean is that everyone has their life lessons. And you might think somebody has a brain stem and not much else. And I totally get it. And why should they be able to raise kids? Every life gets their level of learning and experience and whatever they have. And it might affect somebody else's life. And at the end of the day, we're all going to screw up our kids. That's just what we do as parents. You're screwing them up somehow, no one's the perfect parent, and they're going to screw up their kids, and they're going to screw up their kids. And we like to think that we're all going to be the best person and far better than our own parents, and we will in some areas, but there'll be other areas that lag. But they're all learning experiences for us, no matter what your story is. And so I think it's just maybe helping those other parents to kind of parent, maybe those that maybe aren't very good at it. I don't know.
You know, it does take all kinds, but we live in a society today that there's about 3.5 million babies are born each year in the United States.
Right.
Almost 1 million each year are aborted. So there are people out there that think that's the way to handle their inability to parent.
Right. Or they think they have an inability to parent, so they judge beforehand instead of really kind of letting God, you know, work a miracle in your life. Yeah.
But there's no way that you can control that.
Yeah. No.
You know.
No, and I totally get what he's saying, because you think some of these parents, I mean, you just don't even know what happens you just can't even imagine what happens in their homes probably. But maybe that's there for all of us to have that sort of mentality of it takes all kinds. I think those that get parenting need to help those that don't. Maybe there's a way to reach out and help.
My experience is that most parents raise their children the way they were raised.
Yeah, you can only emulate what you've seen.
Yeah, and so if they were raised poorly, they're going to raise their children poorly, unless somewhere along the line, maybe their in-laws were a little different.
That's true.
And they get some help
there. Kind of get that in there.
Yeah.
I was having this discussion the other day because I think the key to whether or not you become your parents is how much they actually influenced you.
Yes.
So if they're hugely influential throughout your whole life, you'll probably parent a lot like them. If they're not, maybe you can parent differently and you can learn from some lessons that they did that you didn't like. But I think that we have to be very aware that everybody gets their learning curve, no matter how harsh the curve is, no matter how harsh that curve is. That's what I think. I just, you know, I think that parenting is you're always going to look around and just shake your head at what you see. But I think that's just part of this experience. I don't know, part of the human experience.
If you don't raise your children with a certain set of values,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have a miserable life.
Yeah.
And that's how you should look at it. What do you want the best for your child?
Yeah.
Then don't spoil them when they're 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not going to give them the best in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, dinner around the table.
Yes.
A must.
Very important.
Values a must. And believe me, I always am thinking, what are the stories they're going to tell? Because they'll remember things I don't remember. They'll mm-hmm. remember things that I don't even think were even part of the process of our life. And what stories will they tell? And I know that I've screwed up my kids in probably multiple ways, because just you can't be the perfect parent. So there has to be some allowance for that. and as I watch them mess up their kids, how much am I going to tell them what to do? Not much, because they now have to learn their lessons.
Yeah.
And they now have to control, you know, how they're going to do it, because you're responsible for that. That's your accountability in this life. And so we can only do the best we can do. And we have to look around and know that the best somebody can do, it might be pretty awful, but maybe that's where part of us kicks in and says, okay, what can we do instead of just judging? I don't know. I don't want to sit and judge people, but when you're walking around Walmart and you've got this cart of screaming children and you're just hoping these parents, I mean, are going to go home and just at least raise these kids with an inkling of social skills, it can get tough. It can get tough, and you just want to walk over there and go, are you serious with this? Please, we revoke your license right now. But we can't. So what do? We just try and help, I guess, when you see a kid with a meltdown. But see, then people don't want to be... They don't want to have you intrude. What do?
Well, you intrude anyway.
Yeah?
You know? I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to... If I saw somebody really having a problem with their child and they obviously had no clue on how to handle it,
mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, when my boy was little and he pulled this stuff, this is what I did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Politely and nicely and not to hurt their feelings. Yeah. Just, this is what I did when I was your age with my children.
I see a lot of parents that actually want to feel love. So what they do is they make their kids over dependent on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they make them the crux of their world.
Yeah.
And that's harming, too. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we do. In hindsight, we can look back. But I think it's give yourself a little bit of a break. Everyone's going to mess up their kids. And the other thing is look around, see how we can help. And you're right. Attack it that way. Sometimes it helps that for them to know that this is what I learned. I'm just passing it along as a friendly person, not judging,
yes.
You know? Yeah, I like that. Be right back. We have some information on the tornadoes, very kind of interesting information, and all kinds of things that the SCOTUS is doing, too, the Supreme Court. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. The national show is about to start.